Of Yisrael in that green bag. Midah Hoyd.
Mishus. I'd like to discuss an Indian which will hopefully give us an understanding of Hanukkah. An Indian which has been gleaned from many Sforim, so I'm afraid I won't be able to give you a single sefer to quote. But it's not all mine, none of it's mine. It's all quoted from different Sforim, different areas. I'd like to discuss the background and the perhaps a little bit of an amkus to Hanukkah. We find in Daniel, the beginning of Perek Yud, where Daniel had this revelation. It's questionable whether Daniel was a Novi or he just had Ruach HaKodesh, but he definitely had some revelation where he saw an interesting sight. He says, "V'estes einai, v'eir evihine ish echad lavush badim, u'mosnav chagurim b'kesim ufos." He saw a man appeared in front of him, lavush badim, u'mosnav chagurim b'kesim ufos. I'm not going to translate it all. There's many translations out which will translate each word. We'll get to the point that we're trying to get to. V'yosei kisashish u'ponav kamara barak. It was an amazing sight. The gentleman who shined, it was an amazing sight. V'einav klapide eish, now his arms and his legs were there was an element of copper to him. Now Rashi says a bit earlier in Daniel that the element of copper, when Daniel describes the four Goliaths, the Goliath which he describes as copper, Rashi explains that's the Goliath of Yavon. So we're describing here a sight, a vision of a gentleman, of a malach, who is the malach of Yavon. And as we move on into the Nebuah, into the Chazoyim, we find that we are describing the future shibboleth of Kal Yisrael to Yavon. We're describing the malchus Yavon, the golus Yavon that's about to overcome Kal Yisrael. And as he continues on, he says, all those who were with him were tremendously scared. They could see the vision that he saw, but the tremendous aimer, this fear, landed on all those people who were there, and they all ran, they all fled, and he was left there alone. And he says, I remained alone, the eres amara hagadol azos, and I saw this tremendous appearance, and I had no strength left in me, v'hoidi means my splendor nepach was turned lemashchis to destruction, and there was no strength left in me. And he carries on and he explains the whole chazoin that he saw. If you move on towards the end of the chazoin, right at the end of Daniel, when the nevuah or the chazoin describes what's going to happen at the end, and at the end it says v'amad al kanoi, and there will be those who will come and strengthen, replace it and strengthen it back on its base, or kamei, mavin noigeis, remove the oppressors, hede malchus, and will return the splendor, the hadara of the malchus to where it should be. So here we see, here lies the fundamental understanding, the background to the golus of Yavon. It starts off with a hoidi nehepachalai lemashchis. Hoid, the splendor of Kal Yisrael, the splendor of Daniel, which represents the splendor of Kal Yisrael, will be nefach alay lemashchis, will be turned to a distraction. But in the Hatzlacha, in Matisyahu's and his son's ability to overcome Yavon, it becomes now a heder malchus, where the malchus returns to its hadara, to its beauty, to its splendor. So here we see a key to understanding the story of Hanukkah, which starts off with a hoidi nefach alay lemashchis. The hoid, the splendor is turned into a mashchis, and the victory of the Chashmonoim is the head of Malchus, the hoid returning back to its hodo. We find many times in the Torah and in Tanakh the word hoid and hodo together. Hoid v'hodo levashto, hadak v'hoid hoidecho, the hoid and hodo always work together. They are a single unit, the hoid v'hodo, they're two things, there's a hoid and there's a hodo, but they always seem to work together. The Malchus Yavon, the Golus of Yavon, seem to split the Hoid and the Hodor. You have the Hoid being Nepach Lemashchis, and the Hodor only returning to the Hoid at the eventual victory of the Yavonim. So what we need to understand is, what is this Hoid, what is this Hodor, where, what is this Nepach? We find another interesting Loshen in the passage, the Hoidi Nepach, the idea of turning the Hoid, completely turning it on itself, to turn it to its opposite. Nefach means to turn it to its opposite. That's a midah which seems to be singular to Hoyd and not to any other of the midas of Ribbono Shel Olam. This ability, this yisod that Hoyd can be turned onto itself and completely become the opposite, we find again in when it comes to the Beis Hamikdash. The pasuk says, "L'cha Hashem Agdulo v'Gvura v'Tiferes v'Netzach v'Hoyd." These are the seven midas of the Ribbono Shel Olam: Gdulo, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyd, Kichay v'Shemayim, Mavoris, L'cha Hashem Amlocha. So the Gemara in Brachos in Daf Nun Ches explains Gdulo zu Kriyas Yamsuf. We can understand Gdulo zu Kriyas Yamsuf. The Ribbono Shel Olam's Chesed, the tremendous Chesed to Kriyas Yamsuf. We were surrounded by the Mitzrayim, and the Ribbono Shel Olam helped us. He split the sea. Tremendous Gdulo. Gvura zu Makis Bechayis. We understand the Gvura of Makis Bechayis. There's not too difficult to for us in our understanding and our level to begin to appreciate what that means. Tiferes, says the Gemara, zu Matan Teyer. Tiferes again, the Pe'er of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Pe'er of Kali Sol is a Teyer. Tiferes zu Matan Teyer. Netzach zu Yerushalayim, the Nitzachon of Kali Sol, to be able to conquer and overcome and take and acquire Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, that's Netzach. Hoyd, says the Gemara, zu Beis Hamikdash. Hoyd zu Beis Hamikdash. And the Kadmonim say that when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, it says, V'libi Dova Kol Hayoyim, that's the Hoyd which was Ne'apach L'Mashkis. The Hoyd and the Dova are the same letters, but mixed around. So when the Hoyd is Ne'apach, it becomes Dova. So again, we find in the Hoyd or the Beis Hamikdash, which the Gemara says in Barachas, Hoyd means Beis Hamikdash, when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, it's the Hoyd is Ne'apach, the Hoyd itself turns around and becomes a Dova. The Kamenu say as well that the Dova Benidosa, the Tumah of a Tumas Nida, is the opposite of Hoyd. The Mios of a Tumas Nida is the opposite of Hoyd. And again, it's called Dova, which is the same letters as Hoyd, but the other way around. So let us understand here, what's this Middle of Hoyd of the Ribbono Shel Olam? What's this Ne'apach Alayla Mashkis? And what is the Hoyd and the Hada when they're together? And why does Yavon be the one to divide the Hoyd from the Hada and create this gap, this tremendous break in the Hoyd and in the Hoda? So to understand what's going on, let's go through a couple of Chazals and see if we can build from there what this Middah of Hoyd is. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us of an incident that took place b'Shas Matan Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to receive the Torah. So he ended up in a conversation between the Malachim and Moshe Rabbeinu. The Malachim had a complaint. The Malachim had a complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu, against the Ribbono Shel Olam. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, Amru Malchi Hashoris Nachodesh Baruch Hu. The Malchi Hashoris turned around to Hakadosh Baruch Hu and they came with a complaint. Ribbono Shel Olam, Mali Yulud Isha Beinenu. Why is there a human being, a Yulud Isha Beinenu? Amar Lahem Lekabel Teyaba. Yulud Isha, anybody who's born, anything which is born, by very fact that it's born means it's going to have to go through a process of dying as well. Shemayim is a place where there's no death, there's continuity. Yulud Isha is a contradiction to Morim, to Shemayim. So Mali Yulud Isha Beinenu, why is there a human born person here in Shemayim? Amar Lahem, so he said, Lekabel Teyaba, I've come to receive the Teyab. Amar Lefonov, so they said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have this tremendous treasure which has been hidden by you for 974 days. It's something which is a contradictory to a created world. You want to give it, bring it to a boss of Adam. Give it to a boss of Adam means that when the Torah is given to a person, when the Torah is brought down to Klal Yisrael, it was given to Klal Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael have the right to decide what's the truth and how the Torah should be, how the halacha should be kaveya, should be nikva. It's been given over to the Sanhedrin, to the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, to the Gedolei Yisrael, to decide the path and the mahalach and what's the truth of Torah. So we're giving, not just, we're revealing Torah to the world, we're giving Torah to the boss of Adam. It's a contradiction. How can you do a thing like that? Mo enesh kisiv kirenu uven odom kisiv kidenu, says the Malachim. Hashem adunenu mo adashim cha b'chol ha'oretz ashetno hoidcha al ha'shamoyim. Your hoid, this Torah, shouldn't be given to the boss of Adam. It should be tno hoidcha al ha'shamoyim. The only time we find the Torah being described as hoid is when the Malachim complain to the Ribbono Shel Olam, why is your Torah being brought down to the oretz, to boss of Adam? Return, give them an answer. And the Gemara continues, what was the answer? Eventually the Shechinah surrounded him and he managed to answer, and he said, "What? If you look in the Torah, you'll see what does it say there." It says, "Lo yilchol al himachem afonai," all the surim or the mitzvahs of Shabbos, etc. That the whole Torah is based around Basav Adam. It cannot remain in Shemayim. It's got to come down here to Oretz. But yet, the description of the Torah's hoid, so not hoid chal hashamayim, is a description of hoid which the malachim use, and only the malachim use at this point in time when the Torah is about to be brought down to the physical world. This Gemara tells us a tremendous yisod, and we see here the understanding of what lies behind the machlekes between the malachim and Moshe Rabbeinu. Hoid is a midah of the Ribono Shel Olam. Hoid is a midah of the Ribono Shel Olam that's about to be brought down into the physical world. It's a midah, it's the gilui, the revelation of the Ribono Shel Olam, be it through Torah, be it through the gilui Ashkina, as we'll see in a moment. That point when that revelation is to be brought down and be covered and hidden in the physical world, that's the midah of Hoid, which is hidden inside the Hester of the Olam Hazeh. It's at that point when the Torah is about to be given to Basav Adam, where a person can make the mistake and begin to think that the Torah is now being detached from its source. It's beginning over to Basav Adam. It's now not the Hoid of the Ribono Shel Olam anymore. It's been covered up and it's been given over to man, that the Malachim came with a complaint. Leave your Hoid, leave it in Shemayim. Don't give it to the Basav Adam, because there it will not remain the same Hoid as it should be. Hoid is the middle of the revelation of the Ribono Shel Olam bring down in this world. To which Moshe Rabbeinu answered, "You're making a fundamental mistake. The true Hoid and the true revelation of the Ribono Shel Olam can only be when it's brought down to this world, and in this world is given over to the Basav Adam, and through Basav Adam, keeping the Torah and learning the Torah and bringing their revelation to the foremost, to the world, revealing it to the world. That's the greatest gilui. That's the greatest Hoid that one can that can exist. Hoid is the ability of the gilui of the Ribono Shel Olam to be covered by Hester, and yet through the Avodah to be revealed, when that Hester itself becomes the greatest gilui of Kvod Shemayim. There's no greater gilui of Kvod Shemayim than the Kiyum HaTorah in the Olam HaGolus, than Kiyum HaTorah in the physical world. That is the greatest gilui. And the Gemara continues and says the Malachim agreed, the Malachim were Moida, and not just that, they gave Moshe Rabbeinu this tremendous secret of the Keteris, because they understood that the true revelation of gilui kvod shemayim could only be when it's come down to this world, it's gone through the tremendous hester that will have to go through to get down to this world, and then that revelation which will come after that will be the greatest revelation of all. Here we begin to see the hippuch of hoid, where hoid, for the hoid to be true hoid, it's got to go through a hester which seems to be a distraction of that hoid. And only through that destruction does that hoid become the hoid itself. It becomes the greatest hoid, the greatest splendor of the Ribono Shel Olam. It's come through the Hester, it's come through the physical world, and in the physical world it's turned to create the greatest gilui kvod shemayim. That is the true element of hoid. When hoid is turned and become the greatest gilui shemayim, that's when the hoid becomes the hodor as well. As the pasuk says, when David HaMelech says about the about the Torah, Hadak avoy deidecho v'divrei nifle secho asicho, when I can speak out and reveal the gilui of hoid, that's hadar kevod hoidecho. That's the hoid becoming to the beauty, the hadar, the hodor, the tremendous beauty of hoid. When the hoid is revealed, that's the hodor of hoid. That's when the hoid is revealed, that's the hodor. That's hadar kevod hoidecho v'divrei niflesecho asicho. We find the same idea in Parshas Pinchos, when Moshe Rabbeinu gave, as the pasuk says, give your hoid, put some of your hoid onto Yeshua. And Rashi says, what was the hoid which he placed onto Yeshua? That was the keren oyponov, this tremendous shine which shined through the face of Moshe Rabbeinu. Give an element of that to Yeshua. What's this keren oyponov of Moshe Rabbeinu? The keren oyponov of Moshe Rabbeinu is the neshama, the keren haneshama which has become the guf. This tremendous ruchnius which is inside a person, which is behester and seems not to be there. And not only that, seems to be controlled by the very guf itself. But when the guf turns and becomes part of that ruchnius, and through the hest of the guf, there's a revelation of that tremendous spirituality which was inside Moshe Rabbeinu, that's when it's karen oponah, the face is the point where the neshama can be visible. The only point in the guf where the neshama can begin to be visible is the face. So the hoid of the face of Moshe Rabbeinu is the gili of this hidden ruchnius, which is benista, which has revealed itself through the face. When that revelation comes through, that's when we have the hadras ponim of a person, the hoid coming, breaking through the person. We turn the hoid, that revelation, into a hodah, and that's the completion of the hoid together with the nista, turning to be the greatest gilui of ruchnius, the greatest gilui of kvod shemayim. That's the hoid and the hodah, that's the hadras ponim of a person. The Beis HaMikdash again is the same example. We know the Beis HaMikdash is called hoid, as we quoted in the Gemara in in Brochus. It's also the Hadar, the Hadorah of Klal Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash is the point where the Gilui Shekhinah, the revelation of the Ribono Shel Olam, is found in this world. It's again the Shekhinah coming down to the physical world, to the world where the Hester seems to cover up and contradict this Gilui Shekhinah. But yet, through the Nisim and through the tremendous revelations that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, that in the Hester, in the Olam Olam Hazeh, in the Olam HaHester, we had an ability to see this Gilui Shekhinah. That's the Hoid of Yerushalayim, that's the Hoid of the Beis HaMikdash. That Hoid, when it's revealed, when it's not covered up, when there's no Hester, and we see through the Hester, we see the Gilui, that's when the Beis HaMikdash becomes a Hoid, the Hador, becomes a Hadorah as well. So we begin to understand now that the middle of Hoid is when there's a revelation which is hidden, comes down to this world, is hidden in the physical world. When that revelation, through breaking through the Hester, we turn that Gilui into a Gilui through the Hester, that's the greatest middle of Hoid, and that's the middle of Hoid v'hodah lavoshta. A lavush is a clothing, a cloak which surrounds a person. A cloak seems to cover up the person. It doesn't seem to enhance or give her the ability to see what's going on behind. It truly covers. But a true lavush and a true malbush which covers a person properly and elegantly will bring out the true hoid and the true hod of a person. The beautiful clothing enhances the beauty of a person, doesn't take away from the beauty of a person. So even though a lavush seems to cover up, but really what's it doing? It's covering up, but when it's done properly, when the lavush is a true lavush and it runs with the contours of the guf and it brings out the beauty of the guf, that's the hoid v'hodah lavashta, and that's the middle of the range of hoid v'hodah lavashta when he's brought the Gilui Shekhinah down to the Hester. But through the Hester we get the Gilui, that's the hoid v'hodah lavashta, that's the combination of hoid v'hodah. The Mishnah tells us in Ovis, Moshe kibbutz Torah Sinai, Masori Yeshua, Yeshua is a Kenim, Kenim Levim. There was a process of Kabbalah Satayra going down from one generation, Moshe, to Yeshua, Skenim, Nevi'im, Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. We get to the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, Shem Natsadik, we find a new concept, something which didn't exist up until then. We find the concept of Heim Omru, Hu Haya Omer, a concept of the person himself as if he is saying. Moshe, we never find Hu Haya Omer by Moshe. The Mishnah doesn't tell us, Moshe Rabbeinu's, you say this, the Musa, any element of Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu himself we don't find. Yeshua, Nevi'im, Kenim, we don't find anywhere that they said anything from themselves. And the answer is that the reason why that is so is very simple. Because at the level of Nevuah, the level of Nevuah is one of a true revelation of the Ribono Shel Olam. It's a Bechina of Torah Shebiksav. It's a Bechina where the revelation of the Ribono Shel Olam is not so hidden. Nevuah, yes, you have to reach the level of Nevuah. But once you've reached that level of Nevuah, what do you see? You see truth, you see clarity. There's a clear revelation, a clear gilui, a clear understanding of what's going on. Anshe Knesset HaGdolah was a new state of affairs. The Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon tells us in the Hakdamah to Shas that the point when the Nevuah was removed from Klal Yisrael was at the time of the ruling of Alexandros Mokdon. Alexandros Mokdon was the first Greek emperor. More in humor, Alen tells us of the initial meeting between Alexandros Mokdon and Shimon HaTzadik, when Alexandros Mokdon, through the persuasion of the Kusim, marched on to Yerushalayim to destroy Yerushalayim, and Shimon HaTzadik came out to meet him, and Shimon HaTzadik, who is Mishiori Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, who is one of the first single people in Klal Yisrael to say Hu Hoya Omer, it was him, he actually said himself, he was the first to go and meet Shimon HaTzadik, and the Gemara tells us that when Shimon HaTzadik came towards Alexander's Mokdon, Alexander's Mokdon bowed down three times to him, and the people around him, Kusim, said, he's the very man we've asked you to come and kill, and you're now bowing down to him. And they said, and he said, no, every time I go out to war, I see this Musdjukne, I see the form of a certain man in front of me. That now seeing Shimon HaTzadik, I've realized that it was him that I saw in front of me. Shimon HaTzadik, being the Shiori Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, was the first to oppose, and not just to oppose, to overcome the might of Yavon. Shimon HaTzadik was the point when Nevuah, Alexander's Mokdon was the point when Nevuah was left Klal Yisrael. The level of Torah changed. The process of how to learn Torah changed from the time of the Nevi'im and the Zekanim down to the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. Torah up until that point was, through the Avodah, there was a clear revelation. It was clear Nevuah. The person who knew exactly where to go. We said over many times, the Gaon says, Yibona Beis HaMikdash from Hebe Yomeinu V'Seinu Kol Keinu V'Seir Yosecho. Yibona Beis HaMikdash from Hebe Yomeinu, fine. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. V'Seinu Kol Keinu V'Seir Yosecho. Why do we need the Seinu Kol Keinu? What's that going to do with Yibona Beis HaMikdash? So the Gaon says no. It says in the time of the Beis HaMikdash there was Nevuah. And in the time when there was a Navi, every person had a specific tafkid in life. He had a purpose. He knew exactly what he needed to do. What he would do, what he would go knocking on the Navi next door, and he'd say to him, Navi, please tell me what my purpose in life is. What's my chelik in Torah? And the Navi would tell him, you should be a London, you should be a balalocha, you should be an askin, you should be a businessman. Every person had this chelik in Torah. Because if the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, we'll have Nevuah again. If we have Nevuah again, each one of us will know exactly what our purpose in life is. We won't struggle in the darkness trying to work out ourselves where we should be going and what we should be doing in the total hester that we have in the Cheshek we have in the Golas. That's the clarity. That clarity was there up until the time of the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. From the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah onwards, things changed. There was no Nevuah in the world. The Avodah Zarah was removed from the world. Zelo Maseh Nevuah was taken away from the world. What are we left with? We're left with darkness. We're left with darkness. In darkness, a person himself has to be over. The person himself has to work. The person himself has to drive to be able to break through the darkness. In learning, the person has to drive and mucha to get an understanding of Gemara, to understand what's going on, to understand the words of Chazal. That's the avoda of the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. At that point, when the person himself has to work, it's as if the person himself is achieving. So as if the person himself becomes his Torah, and he does become his Torah. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Mitchilo, it's Torah of Hashem. Eventually becomes Torah, so it becomes his Torah. At that point, we enter into a new risk. When there's a Hu Haya Omer, we enter into a tremendous risk. Do we begin to think it's Hu Haya Omer? Do we begin to see it as ourselves, cut off, detached from the Ribbono Shel Olam? Or do we realize that on the contrary, the Hu Haya Omer is the greatest Gilui of the Tayyar of the revelation of the Ribbono Shel Olam through that greatest Hester, through the Hu Haya Omer? At that point, Yavon, Alexander Shmaiton, right away through to the Greek empire, they came in, and that's the point where they came in. At this point where the Hoid became hidden and had to go through a new process of Hu Haya Omer to be revealed, they came in there and they said, Kisu Lachem Lakeren Ashoi, She'en Lem Chayk V'Lekei Yisrael. No, you've been cut off, you've been detached from the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're not the Hoid, which is the Hoid of the Ribbono Shel Olam anymore. It's just the Hu Haya Omer. All you're left with is yourselves. The Chochmah that you have is not Chochmah Hashem anymore. It's your Chochmah. The Kirk of Chochmah Sayyavon was that for a person to believe that whatever he can achieve in his own mind, he can achieve. Above that, he can't achieve. That was Chochmah Sayyavon. The Rambam writes, Aristotle reached the greatest level of Chochmah a human being can reach. But Aristotle was the greatest level that one can ever find. Chochmah Sayyavon means to aspire to achieve what you can achieve. But that which the Bereshit gives you is detached, is not yours anymore. It was at that point, only at that point, when the Nevuah was taken away from Klal Yisrael, and this clarity is not there anymore, that the Yavon had the ability to come in there and wreak havoc in Klal Yisrael. The Hoidin Ne'apach L'mashchis, this ability for the Hoid, for the revelation of the Ribbono Shel Olam to be brought down into the Hester, and on the contrary, through the Hester to see the revelation, the Yavonim took that and they turned it into a Dovah. They turned it, they were Mahapachit. On the contrary, the Hester became a total Hester, became a tremendous darkness, a tremendous Cheshach, like Chazal says, the Cheshach al-Pnei Tohayim, the Cheshach Zu Yavon. There was a tremendous darkness. What's a darkness? Where that light, that revelation, is completely snuffed out. Along came the Matisor and his sons, and they, as Arizal says, they were Mesakin Midas Ahoid. What did they do? To the tremendous power of Mesirus Nefesh, this tremendous Kayach of Mesirus Nefesh of the Matisor and his sons, 13 people in all, according to one Medrash, there was only 13 people at all who fought. No one else fought, just 13 people according to one of the Medrashim. The tremendous Mesirus Nefesh, the Mesirus Nefesh, which is a latent Kayach, which is hidden inside a person, which is itself a hidden Kayach, which is Hoid, which is covered up by the person, doesn't seem to be there. But when the person rises above all the inabilities which are around him, surrounding him, and that mysterious nefesh he takes on and he goes and fights the Yavon. What did they do? They were Heder Malchus. They turned, not just the Hoid was a Choshech, they turned that Choshech into the greatest Gilui, the greatest light that there could be, the greatest Gilui Kvod Shemayim. They turned and proved to the Yavon that the Kisul Lachem Rakein Asher, Ein Lachem Chedek Lekeisol is completely wrong. Every element that we have, every bit of Torah, every bit of Gilui we have is all from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the fact that there's a Hester there is only on the contrary. The Hester is, that is Midas HaHoid, that is the very Hoid that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. He wants the Gilui to come down to the physical world. And he wants that physical world to be turned into a Hodor, into the head of Malchus, into the greatest Gilui of the Kvod Malchus Shemayim. That's the nest of the Ner Chanukah. The Ner Chanukah is a nest where there was a tremendous level of Tumah. There was a Dovah Benidosa, a tremendous level of Tumah all around the Beis HaMikdash. We couldn't find an element of oil which was Tahir. We couldn't find this Tahir, this Gilui, this Hoid. But that Shemen, one little path, burned for 8 days, lemaila min ateva. It turned the hoid into a hoda. It reconnected the hoid to hoda levashta. We now have a gili of the Ibn Shleilam in the hester itself, the greater gili than there could have been without the hester. That's the tikkun of midas ahoid. That's the tikkun of the hoidi nefach lemashkis, the hippoch of the hoid. How the hoid itself becomes hoidah. What's hoidah? That's the takana of Chazal when it comes to Hanukkah. They were misakin the yom tov lehalel v'hoidah. Hoidah itself is again this hoid. Comes from the same word hoid. It's a contradiction in terms. Hoidah means to be subservient to someone. To thank someone means to be machnia. Hachna seems to be the opposite of any benefit. You're giving yourself away to someone. But the greatest beauty, the greatest hoid that one can have is to be subservient to the Ibn Shalom. To have this hoidah to the Ibn Shalom, and through that hoidah, the revelation of the Ibn Shalom is found in this world. That's the message of the Nes of Chanukah, of the Nitzachon of Chanukah, and the Nes of Chanukah. The hoid, v'hodah v'vashta, through the hester of Olam Hazeh. We live in a time where the hester is tremendous. The hoid of Kali Shaul has been snuffed out almost in recent times with all the tremendous scandals that have been going on. The Seidah Dabri is of the message of Chanukah is to turn that hoid back to a hoid v'hodah v'vashta, to understand that on the contrary, through this hester that we're seeing now, we're mischazik in Torah, mischazik in Avodah, mischazik in Gilik Veit Shemayim, we can return to the hoid v'hodah v'vashta, or can be rebuild the hoid, the Yerushalayim, and have the hoid v'hodah of Klal Yisrael back in its full glory, in its full splendor. B'mehei b'yimeinu v'v'yisagov, b'mehei b'yimeinu amen.